Later, the men around Montag could not say if they had really seen anything, perhaps the merest flourish of lights and motion in the sky. Perhaps the bombs were there and the jets 10 miles, 5 miles, 1 mile up, for the merest instant, like grain thrown over the heavens by a great sowing hand, and the bombs drifting with dreadful swiftness, yet sudden slowness, down upon the morning city they had left behind. The bombardment was, to all intents and purposes, finished once the jets had sighted their target, alerted their bombardier at 5,000 miles an hour, as quick as the whisper of a scythe. The war was finished. Once the bomb release was yanked, it was over. Now, a full 3 seconds all the time in history, before the bomb struck, the enemy ships themselves were gone half around the visible world, like bullets in which a savage islander might not believe because they were invisible. Yet the heart is suddenly shattered, the body falls in separate motions, and the blood is astonished to be freed on the air. The brain squanders its few precious memories and, puzzled, dies. This was not to be believed. It was merely a gesture. Montag saw the flirt of a great metal fist over the far city, and he knew the scream of the jets that would follow would say, after the deed, disintegrate, leave no stone on another, perish, die. Montag held the bombs in the sky for a single moment, with his mind in his hands, reaching helplessly up at them. "Run!" he cried to Faber, to Clarice, "run!" to Mildred, "get out, get out of there!" But Clarice, he remembered, was dead, and Faber was out, there in the deep valleys of the country, somewhere the 5 a.m. bus was on its way from one desolation to another. Though the desolation had not yet arrived, was still in the air, it was certain as man could make it. Before the bus had run another 50 yards on the highway, its destination would be meaningless, and its point of departure changed from metropolis to junkyard. And Mildred, "get out! Run!" He saw her in her hotel room somewhere now, in the half-second remaining, with the bombs a yard, a foot, an inch from her building. He saw her leaning toward the great shimmering walls of color and motion, where the family talked and talked and talked to her, where the family prattled and chatted and said her name and smiled at her and said nothing of the bomb that was an inch, now a half inch, now a quarter inch from the top of the hotel, leaning into the wall as if all the hunger of looking would find the secret of her sleepless unease there. Mildred leaning anxiously, nervously, as if to plunge, drop, fall into that swarming immensity of color to drown in its bright happiness. The first bomb struck. Mildred! Perhaps, who would ever know, perhaps the great broadcasting stations with their beams of color and light and talk and chatter went first into oblivion. Montag, falling flat, going down, saw or felt or imagined he saw or felt the walls go dark in Millie's face, heard her screaming, because in the millionth part of time left, she saw her own face reflected there in a mirror instead of a crystal ball, and it was such a wildly empty face, all by itself in the room, touching nothing, starved and eating of itself, that at last she recognized it as her own and looked quickly up at the ceiling as it and the entire structure of the hotel blasted down upon her, carrying her with 1,000,000 pounds of brick, metal, plaster and wood to meet other people in the hives below, all on the quick way down to the cellar where the explosion rid itself of them in its own unreasonable way. "I remember," Montag clung to the earth, "I remember Chicago, yes, Chicago, a long time ago, Millie and I, that's where we met. I remember now, Chicago, a long time ago." The concussion knocked the air across and down the river, turned the men over like dominoes in a line, blew the water in lifting sprays, and blew the dust and made the trees above them mourn with a great wind passing away south. Montag crushed himself down, squeezing himself small, eyes tight. He blinked once, and in that instant saw the city, instead of the bombs, in the air. They had displaced each other. For another of those impossible instants, the city stood, rebuilt and unrecognizable, taller than it had ever hoped or strived to be, taller than man had built it, erected at last, in gouts of shattered concrete and sparkles of torn metal, into a mural hung like a reversed avalanche, a million colors, a million oddities, a door where a window should be, a top for a bottom, a side for a back. And then the city rolled over and fell down dead. The sound of its death came after.